your pain is going to be multiplied in bearing children, and the man that you seduce to eat the fruit, you're going to be going to him, all right, but you're going to have to go to him for everything. And then he turns to the man lastly, and he says to Adam, he says, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. And gentlemen, you have to realize this. This is a ploy telling us that we are to never listen to the voice of our wives when it comes down to the important things in life. We're never to listen to them. Now, ladies, you may think this is chauvinistic. You may think that this is abstract against people in the 21st century. That's why a lot of people don't believe in the. But he says, because you listen to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Look what God says to the man. He said, cursed is the ground because of you. Now, what he's saying here, here comes the punishment. This is what man has to do. Cursed be the ground because of you. And he says, and in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. He said, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. And look what he says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, and you were dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, you may be saying, this is a pretty hard thing that God did for the man. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's why I tell the man, why is your wife out there breaking her back, doing all that work, working, when you're supposed to be the one out there doing the work? We were cursed to work. I work every day of my life, and I don't even have a wife. Why? Because it is something that God put on me. And this is what bothers me about men today. Men don't want to work. Men want their wives to do just as much as the work that you know, that they do.
And I know you don't. I know you don't like worldly examples, but let me give you one.
Go ahead.
There's a singer, a female singer, whose sister, little sister, had a baby, and the baby daddy says that he wants to take her to court and sue her for $5 million because supposedly she told him, you won't ever have to work a day in your life after this baby comes. So he's suing her to make sure he gets the money because he does not want to work. Hey, this guy is under 20 years old, has a baby, and that's the example of somebody who's it's a worldly example, but here's a person who doesn't even want to work, even though they should work, even though the mom's loaded with money. But that mentality of, I don't want to have to work, just give me the money and I could just stay on Easy Street, play games all day, live in luxury and not have to do a thing. Just give me the money now.
You know, what's really sad about that illustration, Mark, is that that's the way most of these young people feel today. This idea of entitlement, because the biblical way of marriage and commitment and working with one another within the relationship has been destroyed. And now we have this disastrous thing called, well, it's not married love.
It's adversarial. It's like two lawyers trying to prove their case. And legally, they will do anything they can to prove their case. So this so-called couple will do whatever they can to at least keep the marriage or make it functional for them to live in for as long as they can.
Wow.
So they'll live in it because we can have a nice house together. We can live on the nice side of town together. We can go to the parties together. We can live in such a way where I can watch my games and you can go be with your girlfriends. They'll find a way to make it work for as long as they can stand it, stomach it, appreciate it, get something out of it.
Instead of just simply obeying God about the whole situation.
Instead of, I want to be with you, you want to be with me.
Yeah.
If it comes to it, will you live with me inside of the box that the washing machine came in?
Right. Right. Because that's...
That's the way I remember it used to be.
Yes.
Growing up watching that mentality.
Yes.
Whatever it takes. The old folks used to say, whatever happens, you know, they stick it out. You two never quit? No, we never quit.
Never quit. Never quit. Quitting was not a part of the agenda of people who really knew God. There is no quitting. Some of the things that married couples have to talk about is money, children, sex, his family, her family, things like that. I'm just scrolling up and down, his job, his friends, her friends, the wedding, religious feelings, leisure activities, lifestyles, and things like that. While these couples are having this talk with each other about this, the main thing that is very difficult to talk about is money. Money, because they come out of, in this day and age, money is what drives the relationship instead of it being love. And so if the man is not making enough money, even the girl's parents kind of like tell her, well, maybe if I were you, I wouldn't think about marrying this guy because he doesn't make that much money. And, you know, you want somebody to be making at least over the $100,000 things, or your life isn't going to make it. I'm going to tell you, money should not be the driving force within the relationship. It should not, especially today as we see our economy basically ready to implode. And it's not going to be too much spending of money like that. And there's going to be a lot of loss of money in our society within the next few years. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how marriage relationships go on. Children, another discussion matter the couple has to discuss. Are they going to have children? Does the wife want to have children? Does the husband want to have children? Why is having children important? Here's another one. Does the woman keep her maiden name, or does she take the name of the man that she marries? This adversarial thing that you're talking about, Mark,
yes,
is all a part of this stuff. Marriage, biblical style, doesn't work in today's culture. That's all I'm telling you. It doesn't work in today's culture unless you are strictly Christian. And I think that what we have to do is we have to go back to those old-fashioned traditions. You talk to young people about this and tell them that they have to go back to the old-fashioned traditions and to live that out, and they don't want to do it. Yes.
You almost need to add to that list his kids from previous, her kids from previous. Oh, because wow, that's a part of the list now of the way life has turned out in this current day. He's had some kids, she's had some kids, and now you're going to have to, as they say, blend this together, and he's going to have to discipline her kids one day, if it's the other way around, she's going to have to discipline his kids, and if the two sides are adversarial and trying to impose their moral on these kids, that's another thing they have to figure out before they say they want to get, you know, take the vow. Make the vow to God and make the vow to each other.
Wow. Wow. You know, I'm just looking at a lot of the scriptures in my Bible program on marriage and considering the other children. How about this, Mark? I'd like to add this. How about considering the other parents? Because the parents of the children.
That's the other thing too, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you got to consider the other parents. That means it's no longer just the two parents now. It's a third and maybe fourth parent that's involved in this relationship. And that has to be considered above all things. We have so much to consider in this day and age. Little fella smells a dog next door in the studio. That's what it is. That's all right. He is. He did get over there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Give me a second. So, considering all of these things, Mark, I think that what we better do now is as we go through this, I'm gonna raise another issue. I'm gonna go and play a little music and to take our minds back in the day where we used to be, and then we'll see if this song makes any sense. Listen up.
Why do fools?
Frankie Lyman asked the question, why does a fool fall in love? And you know, why does my dog nibble on my heel? Stop it. my dog loves his master. He really does. And all this moving around in the studios, bro man is trying to, he says, well, love me, PJ. Come on now. Get out of the wires. Get out of here. He is something else. I'm going to have to lock him out of the studio. All right, let's get back to our subject matter. Why do fools fall in love, Mark? Why? Why? What is it? I mean, what is it that makes this happen? What is it that makes people say, okay, I'm a fool for you. I'm heads over heels for you. I'm going to fall in love with you. I want to marry you. What is this? I mean, I think it's of God, yes.
It's a weird thing.
Keep talking.
As two people see each other and get a glance, and once you begin to become interested in a person, that's when it all becomes something. It becomes something when you see a person and the attraction begins by the way, okay, for the man's side, the attraction may begin because of her hair, or because of her scent, or maybe if you...
So it's a natural attraction.
It's a natural thing. It's a natural attraction. Basic attraction. That's how it all starts.
All right.
That person looks good to me.
So
I wonder what there is about her.
So marriage, because the Bible gives us a clear indication here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, it says, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Now then it says in verse 3, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. Ah, do we find that the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. And then it's very explicit because it says the wife does not have, listen, ladies, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Now, these ideas are alien in the American culture. You have to understand, American people don't think like that. They say, you don't tell me what to do with my body. You don't tell me how to make love to you, when to make love to you, or that you need me to make love to you. I don't want to do that. I don't want you to touch me. But we read in the Bible some verses that really tell us different. As we continue to look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. In other words, don't refuse to give sexual favors to each other as husband and wife without consent for a time. In other words, if you have a headache, ladies, you don't have a headache for the rest of your life. I mean, you know, what is this? Every night you got a headache? You can't have a headache. That's the way he is. And you can't be telling him that. Is that all you think about? No, it's not all he thinks about, but he's a man. What do you expect? Who do you think you married? Your girlfriend here? You didn't marry her. And so the Bible tells you, this isn't about you. All right, now look what it says. It says that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, here in this particular scripture in the Bible, it tells us right up front that if this sexual exchange between the husband and the wife does not take place on a regular basis at a regular time, that there will be thoughts of these kinds of sexual, attractions and things like this. And as these thoughts take place, they're going to be lived out. And the next thing you know, ruinous relationships takes place. This is what the Bible says.
Yes.
And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it tells you not to do that. Now look what Paul says in verse 6. He says, "But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment." Now Paul is saying, I'm conceding to the fact that he knows that men and women are not going to be like that towards each other. He's saying, I'm not commanding you to be like this. He says, this is the compromise that you have to work out. Because if you don't, that man is going to. That's why I tell you, Mark, a man is going to go outside of that relationship to get what he deems he needs.
Yes.
If his wife is not going to give it. That's why it's in the Bible telling the men and the women how to be towards each other. Now, look what Paul says in verse 7, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, he really concedes, and he says, "For I wish that all men were even as I myself." How was Paul? He was not married. Paul was saying, I wish that you were not even in this relationship. But then he goes on and says, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this matter and another in that. He says, I'm not telling you all not to be married. That's why I'm telling you folk that if you want to get married, that there's work in that relationship because you got to work with that other person.
Right.
That other person has needs and desires. A lady was talking to me and I told her, I don't want to give you that when you want it. I said, number one, you're a younger woman. I'm an older man. I don't even think about sex that much. I'm too busy doing other more important things than thinking about how to fulfill a woman. I told the lady, you need a younger man. You need a man that can think about fulfilling you sexually like that. That's a man 65, going on 60, going on 70, 75 years old. He ain't thinking about, no way. You know, and though there are some men that still are thinking like that, and I'm saying, what have they done in life other than make a bunch of babies?
Right.
I mean, come on, man. You're 70-something years old. You need to have your mind on something else than doing that all your life. But like Paul said, some of you got the gift and some of you don't. I have two children. They're grown. My oldest birthday is today. She's bemoaning the fact that she's 39. But hello, I remember when I was 39. And that's just the way it is. So once we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 for the married couple, there's how we handle, Mark, the intimacy question.
Right.
That's how we handle the intimacy question. You owe intimacy to your spouse. Now, check this out. I got to blow their mind. You don't owe intimacy to your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Ha. Deal with that.
Yeah, I get it.
Do they get it?
That's the question.
See, because if they don't get it, see what I mean? That's why I'm saying, wait, what are you being intimate like that with a person that you're not married with? And then after you marry that, ladies, listen to me now. After you, wait. You give him some, let's just be real with it. You give him some prior to marrying him. You give him some in order to marry him. If he's a Christian man, you know that his family, the church, the pastor, and his guilty conscience and everything else, because Christians, we do have consciences, you know. My conscience bothers me when I do something. It's called sin. My conscience bothers me. Some people ain't got no conscience. They can do anything, say anything, be anything, live a hellacious life, and go on, laugh at God, say there is no God. There is nothing. They don't have a conscience. That's all right, because in hell, their conscience is all going to come back with the memory.